I really feel like this word has been something that I've been carrying for at least 3 months. God's been doing a journey in my life. And so the title of my talk is, I've stole it from a song, Jesus, Jesus, You Make the Darkness Tremble. So I felt this morning that God was wanting to highlight areas in my life, our lives, that he was wanting to prune and cut in love to bring us into greater freedom in our life. So I'm going to start. I'm looking for my wife because she's going to read my first bit. So she's multitasking like crazy this morning. So if we're going to read from Deuteronomy 8, it's going to be behind me.
I don't like microphones. Okay. The whole commandment that I command you today, you shall be careful to do, that you may live and multiply and go in and possess the land that the Lord swore to give to your fathers. And you shall remember the whole way that the Lord your God has led you these 40 years in the wilderness, that he might humble you, testing you to know what was in your heart, whether you would keep his commandments or not. And he humbled you and let you hunger and fed you with manna, which you did not know, nor did your fathers know, that he might make you know that man does not live by bread alone, but man lives by every word that comes from the mouth of the Lord. Your clothing did not wear out on you, and your foot did not swell these 40 years. Know then in your heart that as a man disciplines his son, the Lord your God disciplines you. So you shall keep the commandments of the Lord your God by walking in his ways and by fearing him. For the Lord your God is bringing you into a good land, a land of brooks of water, of fountains and springs, flowing out in the valleys and hills, a land of wheat and barley, of vines and fig trees and pomegranates, a land of olive trees and honey, a land in which you will eat bread without scarcity, in which you will lack nothing, a land whose stones are iron and out of whose hills you can dig copper. And you shall eat and be full, and you shall bless the Lord your God for the good land he has given you. Take care lest you forget the Lord your God by not keeping his commandments and his rules and his statutes which I command you today. Lest when you have eaten and are full and have built good houses and live in them, and when your herds and flocks multiply and your silver and gold is multiplied and all that you have is multiplied, then your heart be lifted up and you forget the Lord your God who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of slavery, who led you through the great and terrifying wilderness with its fiery serpents and scorpions and thirsty ground where there was no water, who brought you water out of the flinty rock, who led you in the wilderness with manna that your fathers did not know, that he might humble you and test you to do you good in the end. Beware lest you say in your heart, my power and the might of my hand have gotten me this wealth. You shall remember the Lord your God, for it is he who gives you power to get wealth, that he may confirm his covenant that he swore to your fathers as it is this day. And if you forget the Lord your God and go after other gods and serve them and worship them, I solemnly warn you today that you shall surely perish. Like the nations that the Lord makes to perish before you, so shall you perish because you would not obey the voice of the Lord your God.
That was a huge chunk, so I thought I'd get Robin to read it. I'm going to pray for the tithes first, so let's pray for that. Father, I just thank you for the tithes and offerings. I pray that you would multiply them. I pray that you would guide the team on how to use the money, Father. And we just thank you that we're able to give. We pray that, Lord, in your name. Amen. Cool, so I'm going to read you my introduction first, and then I will go off script. So God has really laid this message of his pruning and his discipline on my heart as Josh Jen Weinberg focuses on equipping people to walk in freedom and to look more like Christ. I want to share the journey that I have been on in the last season and to challenge you to move forward. Just before Ross 2.0 arrived in our hood to lead us, an opportunity came up for me to sign up for prayer ministry. And I knew straight away that that was something that God was telling me to do. So the message came through on our phone. They said the numbers were limited. And literally, I think I came out the bathroom, legged it downstairs and said, Robin, we've got to sign up to this, because I knew that people would be signing up quick. And so thankfully, we got signed up. So basically, it was a prayer time with a prophetic couple that had come from the States. And they were ministering to some of us. Well, they ministered to the whole body, but we had an opportunity as deacons and elders to go for prayer. So I was able to go for prayer. So the session was amazing. I personally didn't realize how many issues I had. So I think sometimes we think we have some issues, but I think I was surprised at how much was buried and hiding there in the background in my life. And actually, I was trying to survive in my life treading water, but actually I was drowning in some of the things that was going on in the background. So whilst being ministered to me, the Holy Spirit revealed what needed to go. I really encourage you, and I'm so thankful that that slide came up today about, I've now forgotten the name of the soul care. I just totally went from my brain. The soul care course, I really encourage you, if you can sign up for it, go for it. Don't miss out on it. It's going to be an amazing time. And the fact as well that it's in our neighborhood as well, Elaine's been able to get his offices for us. It's going to be a real special time. So, what were the issues that needed to go in my life? Let me quickly read you this scripture and tell you why. So, John 15, 1-4. I am the true vine, and my Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit, while every branch that bears fruit, he prunes so that it will be even more fruitful. You are already clean because of the word I have spoken to you. Remain in me, as I also remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. And as I was preparing that part of the preach, I've got this mini little sunroom, and I've been desperately trying to grow this lemon tree, and it's one of those stubborn ones that seems to get all the bugs under the sun and mold and just dies, like major parts of it. And I was like, God, why are you asking me to share that? And what he said to me was, so as I've took care of that lemon tree, as I've diligently with my fingers gone over the mold, rubbing the bits of mold off and pruning the bits back that are dead and that are growing weirdly and wrong, that tree has just suddenly come to life now, and it's even got flowers and starting to bear fruit. And I just felt like that was a real prophetic picture for us, is sometimes, like that tree, we're stubborn, and even though it still had the marks of the mold and stuff on it, it still tried to grow, and it was growing skew, and it wasn't really bearing any fruit. Actually, God wants to work in our lives. He wants all of us to bear fruit. He wants every single one of us, whatever our position is in church, in work, in life, he wants all of us to bear fruit, and then that fruit goes on to affect other people's lives. Okay. Cool. So what happened to me in the prayer session? The branches that were unfruitful were being cut off, as I've just said. Since the sessions, I have felt that I've been tested in every single area of my life. It has been a really hard 3 months. Oh my goodness, I thought it was going to be easy. It was not. So what had prompted these unfruitful branches to grow, and why was God pruning me? What are my branches that are being pruned? Perhaps some of them resonate with you. So for me, there was 4 major branches that God was pruning in me. So I had quite a significant thing happen to me. I can't remember the date, but last year sometime, I started getting chest pains and pain down my arm. I think it might just be a little bit more than a year. And the doctor, I was like, oh, doctor, I feel like I'm getting chest pains and angina. And he looked at me and was like, seriously, you're young, Matt, that can't happen. I said, well, look, my family has a massive history of heart issues. I'm not feeling comfortable. And he said, actually, to be honest, now that you've explained the history to me, I'm not feeling comfortable. So they sent me for the CT scan, and they saw stuff. There was one artery that was 70% blocked. So I think within days, I went in for surgery. And I didn't realize how much that surgery affected me. And actually, the trauma of the operation, I mean, the surgeon was incredible. The surgeon and the staff were the best. They were like totally, for me personally, God appointed, they couldn't have been the right ones for me. They knew how to deal with me. But I realized when I was in recovery in ICU that I allowed a landing platform for the enemy to come in. And they talk, so there's a picture that they give you. So the enemy can only land on the runway of your life if you provide a runway. And I allowed to, rather than trusting God, I then went down the route of, okay, I haven't got long to live. If every single chest pain that I get means that this is the major heart attack now that's happening. So it's fear, 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 anxiety, anxiety, anxiety. And rather surrendering to God, I allowed those planes to start running, landing on the runway. So at first they were like, you know, hobby little jets that, you know, Joe Bloggs has got disposable income and goes out on his weekend with his midlife crisis and flies his plane. Sorry if you do have a plane, I'm not insulting you. But the plane started to get bigger and bigger, and I realized then that there was areas of my life that this fear was small, but then it became a jumbo jet. And it was literally suffocating me and preventing me from doing my normal job, bringing words at church, being able to lead a community group, leading my family. And it just severely affected that. And then, so that I'm actually going to bring the other two together because the two go together. In that, so I didn't have many father figures in my life, and so I called him Dad. Robin's dad went to heaven, and my granddad went to heaven last year. And for me, they were rocks in my life. Like, they were really on fire for God. I got direction from them. But I realized, so God didn't kill them. Let me just say that while we're saying that, because of my pruning, he didn't just go and then kill my grandparents and my dad. So we just get that clear. But through them going to heaven, God has made me rely on him so much more. So whereas I would go and run to man for advice, and it's not wrong to go to man for advice, I've had to rely on God more. So I can't just pick up the phone and go, hey, Dad, I need your advice on this. Or granddad, you would have gone through this. What's this mean? Having those two significant men taken away, God has steered it, and he's brought new men into my life, but he's also grounded me in a new way in him, whereas in the past, I would have lost the plot if they'd gone in those seasons. But because I did experience freedom, it actually prepared me for what was ahead in my life, enabled me to cope. Okay, so then the fourth one for me, and then I'm going to move on to you guys, was my job. So when we moved here, we felt God calling us to South Africa, which was good, and he called us here. And for probably about a year, we looked for work. Luckily, we'd saved enough money, so we were able to look for work for about a year. Robin got some part-time work in between. And then we got this incredible job, which I loved. It was awesome job, comfortable income, it was reliable. And then they notified us that they were redistributing how they were running their program, shall I say. They wanted to run, so originally they ran a lot from South Africa, now they run a lot from the UK, which obviously then significantly impacts Robin and me. And I found that you very quickly forget how God has provided for you in life. And I was having the conversation, I think it was a couple of months back with Ross. I said to him, Ross, I don't get how the Israelites, why were they the way they were? Like, I don't get it. They saw the pillar of fire, was it the pillar of fire at night and the cloud of glory by day? They were provided by manna every day. yet they still grumbled and they still forgot the miracles. And they'd just literally gone from the Red Sea. I mean, where do you see the sea opening so that you can walk through that? But they still forgot. But they still grumbled. And I realized that I'd become secure in this job. There was a comfortableness in this. You know, I could pay my medical aid. I could pay the food. I could pay our bills. And that was gone. So, I mean, I still have it as a part-time job. But what God was saying was, I then started to freak out and go, oh, my goodness, I'm going to have to fix this myself. God, I don't need you. I'll just do it myself. And God's like, yes, you do need me. And I began to realize that it took me to getting on my knees and saying, God, and then God reminding me, Matt, I provided you a house to live in. I've fed your family. I've healed your family from sickness. But you forget those things. And we mustn't forget, church, that remember the areas of our life. I think Ross was saying it, or Dylan the other week when he was preaching. They used to, in the Old Testament, they used to put rocks as a prophetic statement of where there was breakthrough. And I think as a church, as a whole, and you as saints, you need to remember and write down where there's been breakthrough in your life. So when the enemy does fiery arrows at you, they rebound. Because you go, do you know what? Here's the shield. There's been breakthrough in this area. So when there's sickness manifesting in my life, actually God healed me from so-and-so. So we need to start putting these rocks down. Not that we worship these rocks. We don't. They're a prophetic statement as a reminder of how good God is and what he's done in our lives. And it also reminds others of what he can do in their lives. So I went a bit off thing there. Okay, so I had a prophetic exercise I wanted to do. So I'm going to use Ethan, Cleone and Seth for this, the joys of having children. So, okay, so I have one tray and I have another tray. Okay, so Cleone, you're going to go on my right. Ethan, you're going to go on my left. I don't know why that's there. Okay, can you bring the soil? You're strong. See, this is the good thing of having four children, is they work for you. They're props. It's not going to be that bad, Cleone, that she's like taking her shoes off. Okay, so Ethan, get in the tray. He's going to hate me for this. Okay, Cleone, come on. I need to get moving. Okay, this is a visual exercise to challenge you on how we live our lives and consider whether God is wanting to prune some areas in our lives. And I promise you, when I started preparing this, it actually started to get really painful and personal. The same with the extra things I'm going to go through afterwards. I was like, oh my goodness, God, that's areas that I need to work in. Okay, so there's areas of our lives. So basically, there's Ethan, there's Cleone. And there's areas of our lives that often end up very unbalanced. So we allow different things in our lives to become idols. So who recognized one of these? So this is work. So it's an open source photo, so it's fine. So it's just basically a picture of people at work. But with a lot of people, they allow work to become their focus. And it's not saying work is wrong. So like with Cleone, it's a lot more balanced in her life. I mean, she doesn't work. Well, she do work, actually. You do chores. So so see if one of these. So actually, and then mixed in with that, if I can just rip this open. Hang on. Can you rip open? Okay. I'm going to actually probably need someone strong to lift this. Are you going to be able to do this? So you're going to pour a bit of this on Cleone. So this is the soil. Okay, thank you. So this is a bit of the word of God, a bit of worship, a bit of his presence, and then Ethan. Do you want to do a little bit? So just a little bit. Awesome. I'll need more soil in a minute. Okay. Estin will be my pourer. Okay. So there's a little bit of God in his life, you know. He looks like, and Cleone, they look like, you know, average Christian. ticks the boxes. And then, so then Ethan, then he leaves church on a Sunday, and he watches millions and millions and millions of hours of Netflix and his box sets, and he enjoys them, and he gets home from work, or he wakes up in the morning, and he's like, do you know what, oh, I must finish that last bit of Netflix. Whereas Cleone, you know, she's a lot more balanced, she processes more, she maybe does maybe half an hour, maybe an hour of Netflix a day, you know, give or take. Who recognizes this one? I don't know if you can see. Instagram. See, actually, I'm actually going to put this one in Cleone's. So I'm not just going to make Ethan the average Joe. Cleone adores Instagram. And do you know what? If I don't put curfews on my phone, she will live on that. Even Rob and I will go to bed. Quite often we go to bed at 9:30. And I can see a little light through our door. Cleone's on Instagram, updating her status, doing those shots, the selfies. Whereas Ethan's actually quite balanced with his Instagram. So, you know, there's not too much of it there. This is an interesting one. Hey, do you want to open that? Okay. So this indicates, you know, healthy living. Well, this one is non-healthy living. You know, how many of you, you know, God's telling you to eat more healthy, but you actually don't eat that healthy? This is quite cool. This is payback. I'm going to have to try and stand around this stuff now. Cleone is a bit more balanced, you know. Actually, no, I'm still going to pour. You know, is there an area of your life where God's telling you to be a lot more healthy? Is he challenging you to actually look after your body? You know, we're carriers of the Holy Spirit. God wants us to look after our bodies. Who recognizes this one? Actually, this is printed too. Yeah, it has. Facebook. How many people live hours and hours of this on their lives and it totally takes over? So for Ethan, sorry, it's the first thing he does in the morning. It's the last thing he does at night. Good old Cleone. She doesn't really focus on Facebook because she's on Instagram. And actually, she's too young for Facebook. So she just has the minute bit in her life that maybe she sees over my shoulder as I'm looking on my phone. But then let's add a little bit more of God. So Cleone, just add a little bit more. Cool. And Ethan, just a dollop. So Ethan's realized it's got to Wednesday. It's community group. He's like, oh man, they're going to ask me what I'm reading of the word this week. Has God spoken to me? Is there a particular worship song that's resonating? And then he suddenly panics. How about this area of our lives where we idolize and we've put priority over God, our families? Ouch. That's a bit painful, that one. It was painful to me as it is you guys as I'm sharing. So this is me as well. Like Facebook totally takes over. So okay, let's pour some more soil on Cleone. Let's do quite a bit. It's a good job we're on setup this week because we have to clean. So yeah, it was perfect. And then just a dollop for Ethan. Well, actually, you can put quite a bit. It's a Sunday morning. He's gone forward. He's received prayer. Okay. So that's done now. I'm done with the soil question. Thank you. So I'm going to make them stand there for a few seconds longer. So basically, I felt like God was saying that this is a prophetic picture of who we are and our relationship with him. So it's not wrong to have these things in our lives. So it's not wrong. But what does it look like? What's the percentage? You know, do you spend time with God? Do you read his word? Do you worship? Do you prioritize him, or do you prioritize your status? On you're doing disgusting things now and eating the soil. That is gross. Okay, they can go and sit down now. Let's thank them. Okay, cool. So I just felt like it was a real, I work in pictures and I'm very visual. So as I was preparing this, I was like, God, I don't know how to unpack that last bit of what I was preaching and stuff. And then he said to me, do this. And I just felt like that was real significant. So it's not saying that Ethan didn't have God in his life. He did have God in his life. And so did Cleone. But the difference was Cleone's heart. She still had areas in her life that took over time. So she still adores Instagram and it takes over. And that needs to have less of a hold on her. But she prioritized God. I'm just using Cleone and Ethan as prophetic pictures. So I'm not saying that's exactly what they do. This is some of what they do, and me, totally. But we've got to put space in our lives for God. And it's like God sent his son to die for us, to die for our sins so that we could have eternal life. But we can't find time to fit him into our lives. But we can fit Netflix in and Facebook in. And that's when I was like, oh my goodness, that hurts God. Because I adore Netflix. I love box sets. I'll work through them. You'll find an evening that you'll be at 1 a.m. and then you're like, oh my goodness, I've got to go to bed. I've got work the next day. We don't do that now. But there used to be some box sets which just got you. So, okay, what happened to me after the pruning? So I had a hunger for God's word that I'd never had before. I used to really struggle. Even before, there was a weird thing that happened after the pruning that I didn't even want to go near God's word or read God's word. And I was saying to Ross, I don't understand this, Ross. And what what was going on was God was wanting me to rely on him in a new way. So he didn't want me to have processes and theories like I used to have. He wanted me to get to know his word in a new way. And now it's just come alive for me. He's taught me a new way of going deeper in worship. So before we moved to South Africa, Robin was full-time in London. I was part-time, and I used to do all the school run with the kids and stuff. But since moving to South Africa, the kids are around all the time because we homeschool them. So I don't get those moments where I can go and worship and know that no one's going to barge in on me while I'm face down on the floor or worshiping God. There's always going to be, Dad, can you wipe my bum or something like that normally, which completely takes you out of the zone. So I've had to learn new ways of worshiping God and new ways of getting those moments. Even reading the word, I find now for me it's either lunchtime or before bed. That works for me. Others, it works first thing in the morning, and that's fine. Since the prayer, there's a new peace in my life that I've not had for a very long time. And seriously, guys, you need peace if you don't have it in your life. And lack of temper. I really struggled with freaking out and losing the plot. Just very short-tempered. And I found since then God's really mellowed me and molded my heart and smoothed those areas. Okay. So as I was preparing the sermon, I felt God highlight four areas for you as a congregation where he wanted to bring growth in your lives. So I'm not doing a personal attack at anyone. This is what I just felt like God was highlighting, and these are areas that I'm working through as well. So there's my disclaimer. But number one, I felt like work and finances. And this is for you guys. I felt like when it feels like there is no breakthrough at work or in your finances, how do we keep moving forward? How do we move forward? How do we move forward when we've not got enough to pay the bills? Or so-and-so got the promotion that you should have got. How do we carry on with a heart that reflects our relationship with God? That's a harsh, hard one. When your job's going really well and it suddenly gets pulled from you, how do you react? What do you do? How do you push for breakthrough in that? When you're trying to make ends meet and you know that you should be tithing and God's like, I still want you to give. But you're like, but God, I haven't got enough. But God's like, no, give, trust me. Trust me, the breakthrough's coming. I felt like that was for some key individuals in this place. What else? I'm going to do the other two the other way around. So church was number two. So God wants us to learn to live for now and not get frustrated while waiting for what's coming in the future. And that sense of We live in such a society that's now, now, now. Everything's instant. It's credit card. It's fast internet. It's you can go to the shop and get your groceries. Everything's now. And I just felt like God was saying, no, let's live for now and not for the future. Actually, let's enjoy what God's doing now in us and how he's growing us as a congregation and not look too far ahead of what he's doing. To be faithful with every area that God's asked you to serve in. Are you being faithful in every single area that God's asked you to serve in? Or is there areas that he's asking you to serve in and you're just choosing to say you can't hear him while he's saying those things? This can be as big as praying for people consistently in your community group or as small arriving on time for church. That's an awkward one. I felt like God saying with that one, would you be late for work? That's ouch. I was like, oh my goodness, God, that's painful. Do you prioritize church? God does. Do you love the church? God does. Would you lay down your life for her? God did. Are you doing everything you can to get ready for Jesus' return? They were painful when I read them. I was like, ouch. But they're for growth. God is just pushing these areas for growth. Okay, number three, marriages. For those of you who are married, how are you loving your husband or wife? So some of the things I felt like he was highlighting, do you schedule times away? You don't need to have money to do these things, so I'm not saying. So like, I felt like, I know in Robin and I's marriage, like, things are tight now, and things have been tight in the past, but we've always been creative in how we spend time together. And I'm not saying we've been great at this. So since we moved to South Africa, because we don't have family here now, really, we can't just go and drop the kids off. We have to rely on others. So we've not been good at doing date night. We've not been good at prioritizing each other, shall I say. And we were able to, Robin's mum was here and my mum was here, and I was like, I'm going to surprise Robin and take her away. So we went away for our 15th wedding anniversary a number of months back. And it was amazing, except for Cleone texting until 11 p.m. and then my mum finding her that she was still, I'm standing on chips. I messaged my mum in the end in the restaurant saying, Mum, can you please sort Cleone out? She is messaging me and we're meant to be away on a date and I'm dealing with Cleone. So it can get very easily neglected when you have kids. I don't ever want to have a marriage that when our kids leave home, Rob and I sit staring at each other, not knowing what to say to each other or what to do because there's too much silence in the house. I don't want that to happen. Go for picnics together. Go for coffee. Go for walks. You can be creative, but God wants us to build strong marriages. He wants us to look different to what the world looks like. We need to reflect marriages that are strong and on fire. Just as Jesus is coming back for the bride, he's coming back. He wants to come back to a strong bride on fire for him. Let our marriages look like that. Okay. Kids, this is number four. This is a bit ouchy, this one. Okay. How do we train our kids to reflect Jesus in society? What does discipline look like with our kids? Are kids disrespectful? Are they loud? Do they do crazy things? This was an interesting one. What do others say about our kids? Have you asked anyone? Do you dare ask anyone? I think I've learned, especially since being in Josh Gen, I think, because we're quite good at keeping each other accountable and stuff, and I want it to happen, people challenge each other. They say what's going on in each other's lives because they want us to look more like Christ. But the world says shouldn't do that. We keep things hidden behind closed doors. When we're struggling, we hide it away. But we don't do that in Josh Gen. Actually, we want to help each other. We want families to thrive. We want kids to thrive. And I just felt like God was challenging on that. And we've had a season lately where we've had to really crack and break through some stuff. And that took individuals. I mean, I remember Estine and Mariska came around for dinner and we shared with them and then they shared stuff with us. But then, so when they left, we felt challenged. But it was good. It's healthy. And even Ross has challenged, and Dylan, and well, big time. But that's fine. That's important because we've got to look different to society. We can't allow society to dictate what our family should look like. We need to look different. We've got to provide a hope to look different to what society says. Is that, yeah? Amen. This was an interesting one, and I really felt challenged by this from God. And I'm not saying this is just for kids. I'm saying this is for adults as well in your relationship with God. How do we pray in front of others? How do we give in front of others? How do we worship? How do we read the word? Do we reflect something that reflects an intimate relationship with God? I mean, it's easy for me to say, for those with young kids, you know, how you know, when, let's use an example. If I decide to go and put some YouTube worship on, and I'm in the lounge, and Seth just walks in, how do I look? Do I look like I'm worshiping God, or do I just look like I'm just staring at the person who's worshiping? Like, how do we teach our young ones to worship if we don't model it? We've got to model, and that's saying all of us in this congregation, we've got to model to the younger ones what it looks like to have a relationship with God. And it's got to look like something. It's got to, because otherwise they just think you're just standing there and like, yes, Jesus, I love you, Lord. And, you know, it needs to have an expression of something. And with each of us, it's going to look different. Some of us is going to be a flag. Some of us is going to be moving and dancing. Some of us is just going to be fixed, eyes closed. That's fine, but it looks like something. And I just felt like God was saying, I felt like he was challenging that area. Okay, I'm going to have to quickly read because I've got it. I've caught back up. I'm actually right very near the end, guys. It's quite quick. I hope it was quick for you guys. Okay. I was asking for God for a prophetic picture for this bit. And he showed me in Seth's daily devotion. Seth just started this daily devotion on which he reads with me. And it was of, now I don't know the name, Bridget probably know the name. It's of this huge plant, and I think it's in the Amazon somewhere. It's called the corpse flower. Okay, do you know that one? Yeah. So, from the outside, the corpse flower looks beautiful. Like, it's got these amazing flower petals. I don't know. I'm going to say petal. And it looks amazing. But when you get close to it, it absolutely stinks. And it's one of the worst smells on earth. It's called the corpse flower because it smells like death. And it does that smell to attract so they can get pollinated. And me and Seth were reading that, and I felt like God was saying, this is an interesting one. Okay, so prophetic picture. So we're getting ready for work, or we're getting ready for church. We're putting our best clothes on. Got our hair done during the week. So we're looking amazing for a Sunday. We rock up at church, you know. We're looking amazing. It all looks cool. But in the inside, we stink. In the inside, we've had a rough week. We've totally dissed God. There's areas of sin. But we're faking it on the outside, but then when people get close, they can smell it. And I felt like God was challenging us as he was, and it goes with the pruning, of don't allow there to be hidden areas in your life. You know, God wants us to look different. He wants us to smell different. Thankfully, he sent his son Jesus to die on the cross so that we can be forgiven. Thank goodness. We are forgiven. But there's an action in that, and there's an active in walking in that.